Thank you for listening to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive.
Okay, so we've got a collection of articles here all focused on this Jack Smith report.
The special counsel, right?
Yeah, Jack Smith. And this report, it really is a deep dive into some heavy stuff.
Heavy in what way?
Well, we're talking about Donald Trump.
Oh, boy.
The 2020 election, January 6th, all that. And then ultimately, you know, the limits of justice, I guess.
Like what can actually be done when someone in power maybe potentially breaks the law?
Exactly. And this report, it just dropped right before Trump's second inauguration.
Talk about timing.
I know, right? It's like a historical echo. We're revisiting all those January 6th hearings, all those accusations, just as Trump regains the power he was accused of abusing.
It's like a political thriller, but in real life. So for those who maybe haven't followed every twist and turn, can you remind us what exactly was Smith investigating?
Sure. So Smith's job was to figure out if Trump's actions, you know, all the things he did to try to overturn the 2020 election result, if those actions were actually crimes.
What did he find?
Well, his report, it's pretty straightforward. He says he had enough evidence to actually convict Trump.
Wait, convict? But Trump's the president again. How does that even work?
Right, that's the catch. There's this Department of Justice policy. It basically says you can't prosecute a sitting president.
So by winning in 2024, Trump kind of gamed the system.
In a way, yeah. It's like the very system he was accused of trying to manipulate, that system is now shielding him from consequences.
That's wild. So, to be clear, it's not that Smith found Trump innocent. It's more like he can't be touched.
Exactly. It's actually really interesting. Both Smith and Robert Mueller, remember him? He was the special counsel who investigated Trump's ties to Russia back in 2016.
Vaguely.
Well, they both used similar language. Like, there wasn't enough to say Trump was totally innocent, but there was no legal way to prosecute him either.
So what does that even mean for our justice system? Like, if a president can potentially commit crimes to gain power, and then that power protects him from facing the music, where does that leave us?
It's a good question, and honestly, a pretty unsettling one.
Okay, but let's get into the nitty-gritty here. What kind of evidence did Smith actually lay out about Trump's efforts to overturn the election?
Oh, he gave several examples, very specific instances, where Trump was pushing these claims of election fraud, even though, according to Smith, he knew they weren't true.
Like what? What kind of claims?
Well, there were allegations of massive illegal voting, dead people casting ballots, voting machines being rigged, the whole nine yards.
And Smith debunked all of that.
Yeah, he systematically went through each claim using evidence his team gathered during the investigation. He really laid it all out.
So it wasn't just Trump, you know, expressing an opinion or something. Smith is saying this was deliberate.
Right. It's like Smith's argument is that Trump was intentionally spreading misinformation. He felt these actions. They went way beyond just free speech.
It was an attempt to, what, undermine the whole election?
Yeah. And maybe even incite violence, according to Smith. It wasn't just rhetoric. It was potentially criminal.
Wow. And the report, it mentions these, what were they called? Unindicted co-conspirators.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that basically means there were other people potentially involved in this effort to overturn the election, but they're not facing charges.
Because Trump won.
It seems that way. The report's careful not to name names, but it acknowledges that because Trump is president, other individuals who might have been involved are basically off the hook now.
Wow. So not only is Trump potentially shielded from consequences, his victory might be protecting others as well.
Yeah. And there's even mention of one person who may have committed some totally unrelated crimes. Their case was referred to a different U.S. attorney's office.
That's like a whole web of potential wrongdoing.
It is. And it's pretty disturbing.
So did Smith talk about, like, how difficult it is to investigate a sitting president, especially during an election year?
He did. And he didn't hold back. He talked about the intense pressure and scrutiny that come with these investigations and how no matter what the outcome is, there's always going to be criticism.
So it's a no-win situation for the special counsel.
Kinda, yeah. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. And Smith specifically called out Trump's legal team for spreading misinformation, trying to undermine the investigation.
And now one of those lawyers, Todd Blanch, is Trump's pick for Deputy Attorney General.
It's ironic, right? Talk about a conflict of interest.
Seriously. Okay, so how did Trump react to all this?
Oh, he did not hold back. Went on a rant on Truth Social called Smith Deranged, accused the January 6th committee of illegally deleting evidence. You know, the usual.
Oh, same old, same old.
Pretty much. But it's not just the Smith report that's causing a stir. You sent over some articles about Trump's family separation policy. That's back in the news.
Oh, right.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's really sensitive. Yeah. So during Trump's first term, his administration had this zero tolerance policy at the border. If you crossed illegally, even if you were seeking asylum, you were prosecuted.
And they took kids away from their parents?
Yeah, thousands of children were separated from their families and put in detention centers.
It was horrible. People were outraged. Absolutely. There was condemnation all over the place, both in the U.S. and internationally. Many people saw it as cruel and inhumane.
And now J.D. Vance, Trump's VP, he's downplaying it.
Yeah, he's trying to change the narrative. Calls family separation a dishonest euphemism. Says it distracts from Biden's border policies.
So basically, he's saying separating families was justified.
That seems to be the argument. But a lot of people are pushing back, especially human rights groups. They're pointing out the trauma this policy caused, you know, the lasting damage.
It's a good reminder that these political decisions have real human consequences.
For sure. And speaking of controversial topics, you also flagged some articles about the California wildfires and the political fallout.
Yeah, that whole situation is just tragic. So many people have lost everything.
It is. Thousands of acres burned. Casualties are rising. It's awful. But what's really unsettling is how some Republicans are responding.
Unsettling how?
Well, instead of focusing on helping the victims, some are trying to use this disaster for political gain.
Seriously, people are losing their homes, their livelihoods, and they're playing politics with it.
It's disheartening, but yeah. Like Senator Tommy Tuberville and House Speaker Mike Johnson, they've implied that California shouldn't get federal aid unless they change their liberal policies.
Wait, they're blaming the wildfires on California's politics. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Tuberville even blamed woke policies, whatever that means. And Johnson suggested tying aid to the debt ceiling negotiations.
So they're holding disaster relief hostage. That's just cruel.
It really is. A lot of people are calling them out for politicizing a natural disaster, and rightfully so.
It shows you how deep these political divisions run. It's sad. Okay, let's shift gears for a sec. I saw an article about Elon Musk setting up shop next to the White House. What's that all about?
Ah, yes. Elon Musk, the world's richest man, is about to get even more powerful, it seems. He's creating his own Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, in the Eisenhower Building. Right next to the Oval Office.
D-O-G-E. Seriously. Like the meme.
Yeah, you'd think they'd go with something a little more, I don't know, official sounding.
Right. It's a little strange.
It is. A lot of people are raising eyebrows about this whole thing.
So what is this D-O-G-E supposed to do? What's the point?
Well, officially, it's about making the government more efficient, mainly by cutting costs and reducing bureaucracy.
That's a tall order.
For sure. And, you know, Musk has always been vocal about what he sees as government waste and inefficiency.
Okay, but with his ties to Trump, isn't there a potential conflict of interest here?
Absolutely, and it's a big concern. Musk's companies, like SpaceX and Tesla, they have billions of dollars in federal contracts. So him getting involved in government policy, it could easily benefit his own businesses.
It's like he's creating a personal think tank with direct access to the president.
Essentially, yeah. And he's brought in other tech investors too, like Mark Andreessen.
So these billionaires are shaping government policy.
It seems that way. They're helping recruit and interview candidates for the Trump administration, all behind closed doors.
Okay, that is unsettling. All right, let's move on. What about Ron DeSantis? It seems he's on board with Trump's immigration crackdown.
Oh yeah, he's all in. It's funny, you know, they were rivals during the primaries.
Total opposites.
But it seems in politics, there are no permanent enemies, only permanent interests.
So what's DeSantis doing specifically?
He's called for a special session in Florida to implement some pretty strict immigration enforcement measures.
Like what?
Well, things like activating the National Guard, spending millions to expand detention centers, stuff like that.
Wow. It's a stark contrast to those sanctuary city policies some places have.
Right. It's clear DeSantis is willing to put aside any past differences with Trump to push this agenda.
There's a lesson in there somewhere about political maneuvering.
For sure. Speaking of shifting alliances, you also flagged an article about Senator John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania.
Fetterman? He was a big critic of Trump, wasn't he? What's going on there?
Well, he just met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, which has everyone buzzing.
No way. What happened?
They had a private meeting, about an hour long, and afterwards, Trump called Fetterman a common-sense person who's not liberal or conservative.
Wow. That's a far cry from the way Trump used to talk about him.
Right. So something's definitely up.
What's the theory? Why the sudden change?
Well, some people think Fetterman is trying to position himself as a more moderate Democrat. He's shifted rightward on some issues, particularly foreign policy.
Like what?
Well, he's been very vocal in his support for Israel's actions in Gaza, which has alienated some of his fellow Democrats.
Interesting. So maybe he's just trying to adapt to this crazy political landscape.
Maybe. It definitely raises some questions about party loyalty and political strategy.
We've covered a lot of ground here. Presidential scandals, immigration battles, wildfires, tech giants meddling government, and now a Democratic senator cozying up to Trump. It's like a political thriller unfolding in real time.
It's definitely a wild time to be following politics. And as Trump starts his second term, it'll be fascinating to see how all these storylines play out. Buckle up, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I think we need a moment to digest all of this. When we come back, we'll take a deeper dive into some of these topics and explore what it all means. Stay tuned.
It's wild, right? I mean, Fetterman's wife, Giselle, she was undocumented herself at one point.
Oh, right. She's been a huge advocate for immigrant rights.
Especially for DACA recipients.
And now her husband's supporting legislation to detain undocumented immigrants.
Even for nonviolent offenses.
It's a pretty big shift. Makes you wonder what those family dinners are like.
I know, right? Talk about a clash of ideologies. But, you know, circling back to Smith's report for a second. Legally, Trump's off the hook because of this presidential immunity thing.
Right.
But what about, like, the moral implications? Can a president just try to overturn an election and there are no consequences?
It's a question a lot of people are asking. What about impeachment? Is that even remotely passable?
Impeachment? Not really. You need a two-thirds majority in the Senate to convict. And with Republicans controlling things, well, it's just not going to happen.
Especially with Trump's base still so loyal.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's basically untouchable, legally and politically.
What about the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th? Will they face any consequences?
Well, Trump has hinted at pardons, which would be a whole other can of worms.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That would be controversial.
Big time. I mean, it'd send a message that trying to overturn an election is fine.
That's terrifying.
It really is. It raises serious questions about, like, the rule of law, the peaceful transfer of power, the whole foundation of our democracy.
It's a mess. Ethically, legally, it's hard to see a good outcome here.
I agree. It just shows how fragile our democracy is.
If a president can interfere with an election and get away with it, what's stopping it from happening again?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Smith's report, it really forces us to confront that.
It's scary. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today. Presidential scandals, immigration, wildfires, tech billionaires getting involved in government, and now a Democratic senator seemingly aligning with Trump. It's exhausting.
It is. It's a lot to process. And honestly, as Trump starts his second term, I'm a little nervous about what's coming next.
Yeah, it feels like we're on the edge of something big, and not necessarily in a good way.
It's true, but even though it's unsettling, we can't just ignore it.
Right, we have to stay informed.
Exactly. Burying our heads in the sand won't help anything. We need to stay engaged, hold our leaders accountable.
Apathy is dangerous, especially now.
I couldn't agree more. It's important to have these conversations, even when they're tough.
We need to keep digging. Keep asking questions.
Exactly. And don't just take our word for it, you know? Read those articles, do your own research, form your own opinions.
That's what critical thinking is all about.
For sure. Knowledge is power. The more informed we are, the better equipped we are to navigate all of this.
Absolutely. So stay curious, stay engaged, and please stay hopeful. Even when things look bleak, we have to believe in the power of truth and justice.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And if you're looking for a good place to start, I always recommend the Utica Phoenix website and YouTube channel.
We do our best to break down complex issues, offer context and analysis, and encourage everyone to think critically.
We have a ton of deep dives on all sorts of topics, all designed to help people understand this crazy world we live in.
So if you're ready to learn more and maybe have your assumptions challenged a little, come join us.
You might just discover a new passion or perspective along the way.
Learning is a journey, not a destination.
So true. And with that, I think we'll leave you with a final thought.
A question to ponder.
If a president can exploit the very system he's supposed to uphold, what does that say about the future of our democracy?
That's something we all need to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to wrap your head around.
It feels like we're at this turning point, you know?
Like a crossroads.
Yeah, exactly.
We're facing these huge questions about power and accountability. Like, what does it even mean anymore?
And the future of our democracy.
It's pretty heavy stuff.
It is. And, you know, I keep thinking about something Smith said in his report. He talked about how dangerous it is when political leaders use their power to spread lies.
Misinformation.
Right, misinformation. And how that erodes public trust.
In our institutions, in our government.
Exactly. And he argues that it can actually destroy democracy.
And we're seeing that play out right now, aren't we? With the wildfires, with the family separation debate, even with Elon Musk and the government. It's like everyone has their own version of the truth.
Yeah, it's like we're living in this post-truth world.
Where facts don't matter anymore.
It's crazy. And it makes it almost impossible to have a real conversation, you know?
Everyone's just retreating into their own echo chambers.
And demonizing anyone who disagrees with them.
It's a dangerous cycle.
It is, and we need to break it if we want to save our democracy.
But how? How do we even start?
Well, I think it starts with each of us, you know?
What do you mean?
We have to be willing to think critically.
To question our own assumptions.
Exactly, and to be open to hearing different viewpoints, even if they make us uncomfortable.
To admit that we don't have all the answers.
And that we can learn from people who see things differently.
It's about having respectful dialogue, even when it's hard.
I think that's the key. We need more humility, you know?
Less certainty, more curiosity.
I like that. More curiosity.
Well, on that note, I think we've come to the end of our deep dive.
It's been a long one.
And a heavy one, for sure.
Yeah.
But also really important.
Absolutely. These are challenging times.
But they also demand our attention.
And our action.
If you've been listening, you've already taken the first step.
You've engaged with these tough issues.
You've heard different perspectives.
And hopefully you've learned something new.
That's what we hope to achieve with these deep dives.
To empower you with knowledge. To get you thinking critically.
To encourage you to participate in our democracy.
Because ultimately, the future depends on us.
On all of us.
So thank you for joining us on this journey.
Keep exploring these topics.
Keep having those difficult conversations.
Because your voice matters.
It really does. And if there's one thing we want you to take away from this,
it's this.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Challenge assumptions.
Speak up for what you believe in.
Because your voice matters.
For more deep dives, visit our YouTube channel and subscribe.